Those who are paying careful attention to the number of the sugyas that are up to may have noticed we just skipped two sugyas. So we did skip two sugyas, but we may go back. One of the sugyas we're probably going to go back to, but I just thought that I wanted to keep the flow going in terms of the getting into the next sugyas and the gimel, but then we may go back afterwards to one of the previous sugyas. So we begin a sugya really at the very end of Rav Papa. Well, believe it or not, we've been talking about Rav Papa since probably before Rosh Hashanah. Rav Papa was the one who told us that some told us are like Avos and some told us are not like Avos. Remember back to the first Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that Ab Avos Nezikin, Avos B'chal Dika told us, if there are Avos then there must be subcategories. And you might want to know, told the same Kayetzeben, or told the same Lav Kayetzeben. So the Toldos carry over the properties, the characteristics of the Avos and not. And we have Machlokes and Rashis and Riffs and Briska Rubs and Maisla all along the way to figure out even what those words mean. And then the Gemara quoted Rav Papa's very, very cryptic statement that sometimes yes and sometimes no, which led us down the path to elaborate on every single Avos Toldos. That's why we spent a lot of time talking about Eish, and that's why we spent a lot of time talking about Bor, and we spent a lot of time talking about Keren, everyone along the way. The problem is, hopefully everyone enjoyed the journey of the last two blah. The problem is that we've got absolutely nowhere very fast because we still haven't identified the one case of Lav Kayotzeben. Every single case that we bump into, the Gemara says, well, this is Kayotzeben and that is Kayotzeben. The rock falling down is an Eish and the rock on the floor is a boar and everything is the same. So what in the world did Rav Papa mean? So finally, the Gemara concludes that what Rav Papa meant was as follows, that when an animal is walking, so if it walks and it tramples directly onto something and it causes damage, so then the halacha is one is obligated to pay full damages. That's regel mamash, v'shilach, that's the pasuk in Chumash v'shilach. However, if the animal doesn't trample directly, but rather is walking and then shoots up a pebble, shoots up a rock, and it damages through what we call tsuros, or we call, in halachic sense, tsuros means pebbles, but we call it through kocho, through the force of the animal, rather than a direct hit. So then we have a special halacha called chatzinezik tsuros, that you only pay half damages. So the Gemara says, you only pay half damages? That's very, very different from regel. Regular, you pay full damages. Chatzinezik tsuros, you pay half damages. That is Rav Papa's cryptic statement that there are some toldos that don't follow the others. How in the world do we know this is true? What is the source for this somewhat strange din that an animal damaging through tsuros, through a force, through kicking up pebbles, is only half damages? So Rashi explains to us on the first of the Mamakomos, the chatzinezik tsuros, the animal was walking, and it kicked up rocks with its feet, and it broke kelim. The kaimalon, the hilchas gemirila, that the Gemara uses that phrase. Hilchas gemirila is the phrase that the Gemara uses. So if you would just translate literally, hilchas means halacha, gemira means learn, derive, like lashon Gemara, law, that's it. So we have learned by tradition, we have learned this halacha of chatzinezik tsuros. So the Gemara is very, very vague what exactly that means, hilchas gemirila. So Rashi sticks in the magic words. Rashi says, the kaimalon hilchas gemirila, lemoshe misinai, boom. So Rashi already commits himself. Rashi already says, you want to know what tsuros is, where tsuros comes from. There is no other way to explain for a source for tsuros rather than to pin it on a halacha Moshe Mesinai. And that's exactly what the Gemara means when it says Hilchas Gemirla. It's pure teshuv apeh, no different than tefillin being black and how you shecht an animal and lamitas malachas and Shabbos and how you build the sukkah and how you build the mikvah. It's part of the regular tradition of Hilchas Moshe Mesinai. This is built into the system of chatzinezik tsuros. And then Rashi goes on to explain, now that he just identified the source, he just tells you a little bit more about the parameters of this halacha. The Hilchas Gemirla Moshe Mesinai, the mamonahu. Says Rashi, quite a statement here. Rashi is telling you, not only is there halacha Moshe Mesinai that you pay half, but Rashi is telling you not just in terms of quantity, he's telling you in terms of quantity, quality as well. We know that there are different kinds of payments in halacha. There's mamon and there's knas. Mamon is a monetary payment corresponding to the damage that I caused. So let's say if I throw a baseball through your window and it causes $500 damage, so I have to pay $500. It's not a penalty. Not a fine. It means I caused you $500 damage. I owe you $500. Or if I borrow $1,000, so the din is I have to pay back $1,000. They're not penalizing me for borrowing the money. The reality is, I borrowed $1,000, so I caused you $1,000 loss. I have to give you back $1,000. Very simple. Then you have other areas of halacha that are knosos. So let's say, for example, I stole your animal, and I shechted your animal. So the Torah says, oh, yeah, I got to pay four times, five times. I only stole one animal. So why am I paying four times, five times? Kanas. That's a penalty. That's a fine. That's a person parks at the wrong time. So he gets caught. He's got to pay a $50 fine. So you caused the city of New York a $50 hefsid by having your car there in the wrong place. He said, the Torah says it's a fine. It's a knas. It's a penalty. So the Torah recognizes the idea that there are some tashlumens that are mammon and there are some tashlumens that are knas. So Rashi is quick to point out that chatzid ezek tzeraros is mammon, it's not knas. Why is Rashi so compelled to tell us that information? Because the Alpha Gav, the Pal Genezek Shon Negicha Viknas, because this is not the only example in the Torah that we have paying half damages. A person pays half damages for an animal goring also. That's a Pasuk Chumash. So we have two different models of Chatzin Nezek. We have one in the Tershav Chsav, a Chatzulis Kaspo. We have one in the Tershav Apev, Chatzin Nezek Tzeraros. So Rashi is very, very quick to draw a distinction between the two. Rashi says, don't confuse the two. Don't get mixed up and say, this is a knas, that's a knas. No, they're very, very different. And since we know that it's mamon, we're not going to call Chatzin Nezek Tzeraros a told of Karen because it's so radically different. Even though quantitatively it's closer to Karen, but qualitatively it's very different. Elder regel, so it is clearly in the parish of regel. But it's not the same as Regel. It's not identical to Regel. And that's exactly what Papa was driving at. So it took Rashi three lines to explain to you what Tzeraros is, where Tzeraros came from, what the source of Lachosinei of Tzeraros is. The fact that Tzeraros is Mammon and not Kenas, that's what puts it closer to the category of Regel rather than to Karen. But since its characteristic of paying half is different from Regel's characteristic of paying whole, that suffices for a Papa statement of there's one case out that totals Lafgavos. So quite a packed Rashi. In three lines, Rashi stuck all these different things into this equation. But the part that becomes critical for the beginning of Rashi Sugi is those two words that Rashi said in the end of the first line, L'moshe b'sinai. So in the Gemara itself doesn't say that. The Gemara uses the phrase Hilchasa Gemirila, and Rashi almost translates that to mean Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So for Beit Hashem next week, we have to see, is that agreed upon? Is there some other way of understanding what Tzeraros is all about and how that impacts our understanding of many, many different areas of Halacha? So hopefully Beit Hashem next week, we'll have to see that the Rambam may have a little bit of a different understanding of what that phrase Hilchasa Gemirila is all about. So hopefully Beit Hashem next week, we'll begin to try to analyze the Sugya Tzeraros through the line, through the Machlokes Rashi, and potentially the Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam.